Hi, welcome news for today's conversations, episode 17. My name is Lotfi Murad, as you can see in the screen. And what I do is basically helping people to find themselves, to be truly able to be themselves, and from there, ride the wave of their lives. And that can be through coaching, through healing old wounds, or whatever comes up. And in the end, it's all about being happier, having more fun. And one of the reasons I'm organizing spontaneous conversations is to have fun. I do not know exactly what the conversation will be about, but I know the person who I'm going to do it with, and that's a fun person. So yeah, we're going to have fun today. And today's guest is a really good friend of mine, Nienke Rinsema. Try pronouncing that if you're not Dutch. And yeah, we'll just dive into it. Nienke, who are you? What do you do, in short? And let's go from there.
Yeah, thank you, Lotfi. Thank you. Yeah, we've known each other, I guess, for
2011.
All right, just to
11 remember. Years.
Yeah, so that's quite a while. I then wasn't aware of what I call my business now, which is soul touching. I called it more like the name of my company then was like what drives you. It was an Italian word, movente. What drives you? Yes, and I guess like soul touching is still the same essence of what I want to work with. It is, you know, we all have this driving force in our cells, in every cell of our being. We have this kind of aliveness, this power of living, which you see, we're talking about children just before we started, see that especially in children. We have this like unbridled life power, life force. Force is maybe not a gentle word, but it's explosive, it's dynamic. And with children, it's unimpeded still, like it's just bursting out. And that is what I want to touch. I call it soul touching because for me, it's very close to the soul. For me, the child is very, very close to the soul still. You know, the child hasn't really been exposed to the depth of trauma we all carry. Thus, it is still very much a soul's expression, let's say. And yeah, my joy and passion is about touching that and feeling that in depth in the person I'm with, being in work, like work as a guide, a coach, a counselor, or being it in, you know, whatever encounter I have, it doesn't really matter. But soul touching for me is my life's essence, so to say. Yeah.
Yeah, so what I would like to add to that is I experienced it myself more than once. I experienced it in a one-on-one, our first meeting, but also later in your monthly webinars, workshops. It's not really a webinar because it's really very interactive. We would call it more like a workshop. That interacting with you creates a bubble. Mm. And in that bubble, you feel safe and you can be completely yourself, especially when we first met. I was not there yet. I'm much more myself today, but I remember we were sitting in a busy cafe close to Amstel Station, and I just didn't care about the people around us anymore. I just spoke my truth and I talked about everything that came up, and it was about me, where normally would be hiding it from people or whispering it, and I was just came out because there was this bubble. I could see the people, but I literally saw there was like a veil between them, and they could not hear us, and I could just share everything. And in the monthly workshops, it's the same. It's okay, then it's closed, it's a Zoom call, only certain people are in there, but still it's that feeling of being completely yourself, and that's where the joy starts.
Yeah, thank you.
And you're still doing that after 11 years. I still experience the same thing.
Well, thank you. That's nice to hear. Yeah, it's not something, you know, I think about deliberately. It's not something I aim for, but this is just what Joseph Campbell called follow your bliss. This is my true bliss. And so that's what I'm always focused upon, kind of. It's what my energy is drawing to. So, yeah. And I ended up calling it soul touching, because it very much feels like a touch, like a painter with its brush, like touching the canvas. It feels like that, yeah.
It's one of your superpowers, I call it.
Mm. Thanks.
For those who love the Avengers and series, Marvel series and stuff like that, that's Nienke's superpower.
Mm.
Making people feel very safe in a bubble, no matter where they are.
Mm. Yeah, it really feels it feels so true. Like I guess that is what I truly experience also when I meet people. It is their essence. Those are all words, like, you know, we're kind of used to using them now, but it's beyond those words. It's really kind of a sensing mechanism that's always on in me. So even if you wake me up in the middle of the night, I will always move towards and try to invite the other to move towards this essence to meet there. And I can't help myself and get myself in trouble.
The child in me now is like, okay, I'm gonna call you 3 o'clock one of those days, 3 o'clock in the morning. See,
I think my phone will be off, but
yeah.
You can always try.
Yeah, but I do get it. I know what you mean, because you also managed to be closer to yourself.
Mm.
And from that point, you can actually invite others to be also like that. And that's how you get the soul touching, but that's also why people start to feel safe and can open up to you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're already doing that. You are in that safe space within yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you worked for decades for that, but you got there.
Mm-hmm. And I must say, you know, to be very honest, and I learned that especially through the Gene Keys. I just want to mention that here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm allowed to. The Gene Keys, genekeys.com, people.
I'll write it down. I'll put the link in the comments or in the description.
It's a beautiful, beautiful teaching. For me, speaking about soul touching, that really touches soul. That really touches essence. What I've not experienced in other teachings. Not that I know all teachings that exist, but this for me is very true, very genuine, very pure. And what really became clear in diving in that teaching was, you know, there's also the other side. So when I'm really confronted with fears and trauma and you know, stuff that really stirs me up, I do exactly the same thing, touching truth, but it's coming from a different angle. It's coming from my own hurt and my own fears. And then the same touch becomes something judgmental, you know? So, and just wanted to mention that, because it's not all angelic, you know, beautiful roses and unicorns. It's this essence that I experience in my energy also has this this energy of being sharp and fierce and hard, you know. And I think it's very healing and very very, very welcoming that we understand and that we embrace that it's one and the same thing. Both our hard edges, our expressed pain and fears, and that beautiful gift, that genius that we have. It's one and the same thing. So we don't have to run away from one and run towards the other. It's really one and the same thing. So yeah, the soul touching can be also like itchy, you know. Yeah.
Very nicely put. It's a very nice description of how the gene keys can help you, or how what it shows. I've worked a lot with the gene keys for several years now, and I feel to dive a bit deeper for people who are like, gene keys, what is that? Or I've heard of it, but maybe they got a different perspective on it. But what I love is, on one hand, it shows you the shadows, but also your gifts, things you have. And most importantly, for me personally, is the potential. Mm-hmm. And for me, that is so important, because freedom is important for me. Where certain other systems, like human design, for example, is, from my perspective, is telling you, okay, or astrology, you are like this. Here's a box. This is how you are. I'm like, no. I may have been born like this, or I may be still like this today, but I don't want to stay like this. Mm-hmm. I want to grow. I want to evolve. I need my freedom to move. And the gene keys give that. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's also showing us, like, hey, we have these shadows in us. And they're not, per definition, a bad thing. They're bad if we don't know how to navigate them. But if you work on our inner balance, it's accepting our dark side and our light side. Mm-hmm. And then also accepting it in others. Because why would we judge somebody else for having a dark side if we also have dark sides? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't mean that we have to like that dark side, but at least acknowledge it's there, because that person also has his journey of balancing his inner world, and then from there, his interactions with others. And if we can do this, we will see a change also in polarity, both within us, but also in the outside world. So we'll have less conflict with others. And when more people do this, the more peace there will be on earth. Mm-hmm. Because I really have to think hard, when was the last time I really had a fight with someone? Not talking about disagreeing with someone, really being angry at someone and fighting with that person. That's really been a while. Mm-hmm. Because I can see things from different perspectives, or I can take at least a step back and then see, like, okay, that person has a good reason why that person is attacking me now, or is mad at me, or believes that I did or said something to hurt them, which I'm sure I did not. But then, because of taking that step back, I can see what's going on, or at least get an idea what's going on. Like, oh, okay, I will not get mad at this person, because I understand that person is clearly acting from pain. There's something there. It's not my job to fix it. If that person needs help, can ask me or ask somebody else. But that's how I avoid a conflict. It's not by running away, but just observing, like, okay, it makes no sense. If I need to defend myself, that's different. But in many cases, I don't need to defend myself. I can just step aside and let them shoot or throw out their flames like dragons. Fine, I just step aside. Okay, blow off the steam. And then sometimes you see that after that, the person comes back, sometimes apologizing, sometimes not. I don't need the apology. I just need the person to come back to self and then have a decent conversation again. But it all starts with that inner work. And I've experienced this a few times with people, that they can be like, and then after some time, a few months later, you see them very differently. And I'm just happy to see them, that they managed to heal some wounds, to get some more clarity for themselves. And so my arms are open to them again. I will not hold a grudge. Come on, I've done shit in my life too, because I was totally fucked up. It happens. And that is one of the things I believe that I could see more clearly, thanks to the gene keys. I mean, I knew it somehow, but the gene keys helped make it more visible, more tangible. Mm-hmm. So that's my sidestep to the gene keys.
Yeah, and For me, it's how do I say that? It's such a thin line between like judging the shadow, we even call it shadow, and really incorporate it as like the shadow being the gift, actually, because I think that is in fact what it is. Like, to work with the gene keys, we distinguish like three layers of frequency: shadow, gift, and city being like the divine essence, like the highest frequency. And I guess what we're learning and what we also see, like the comparison with children is actually great, because with most parents, not with all parents, but with most parents, luckily, I think at least, the children are seen through eyes of love. So when the child expresses like what we would call shadow, rage, or, you know, like really wanting something, you know, being impatient, whatever, being greedy. The parent, most of the time, keeps looking at its child through the eyes of love, with the heart, and will not necessarily judge the child for being in a shadow frequency. It will just see the child in its potency, in its light, you know, experiencing a wave of whatever it is. And so, yeah, even so, that was my point, I guess. Even speaking about shadow and not shadow, shadow and light, shadow and higher frequencies, I think already divides
mm-hmm.
a bit. Yeah, so what would it be like if we could just see each other as these gifts in whatever form it shows itself? And I'm not saying that I can do that, you know, I'm really challenged myself like a lot of times. But I've been noticing that dividing the energy into shadow, gift, and city is a whole other story. That's a very different frequency altogether. But dividing it into shadow and light can tense up, you know, can tense us up, because we learn very quickly in spiritual circles to avoid that shadow then, because it's kind of not the thing to be in.
Yeah, that's running away from part of yourself.
Exactly. And well, I think what the gene keys wants to bring across is that the shadow and the gift actually are the same thing. It's just, you know, sometimes you see that energy with a green face, and sometimes you see it in a red face, and sometimes you see it with a blue face, and sometimes you see it with a yellow face, and all the colors of the rainbow. So yeah, well, but this is maybe a detail.
Well, it's about, it starts with ourselves, I feel. If we accept the parts in ourselves, then
yeah,
we don't divide anymore in the outside world.
Yes. And that's exactly
being, how to say, I know I can sometimes annoy people, and I know where it's coming from. So basically I start pushing sometimes certain buttons in people. Mm-hmm. People can see that as a shadow in me, because I actually get some joy out of it, teasing people sometimes and finding that thing, and like, okay, because I feel that there is something there that's not true or something, but it's unconscious. So people can say, oh, Lotfi can sometimes really be annoying. But I know that this annoying actually pushes people forward. Mm-hmm. Just like people, when they annoy me, at a certain moment I realize that, okay, why do I really get annoyed?
Mm-hmm.
What in me did I not accept? Mm-hmm. Or where am I lying to myself? Especially children can mirror that to you, because children, they're not yet so polluted by all the systems in society. They just sense if you're truthful or lying.
Mm-hmm.
And so shadows sometimes are perfect
mm-hmm.
to help others grow.
Mm-hmm.
And so are the shadows of the others, for myself, for example, to grow.
Mm-hmm.
I experienced in the corporate world some dark shadows from some bosses, horrible bosses. But without them, I would not be the person I am today. I would not have learned to stand up for myself.
Mm-hmm.
I recorded a video today, which will be uploaded in the coming days, about abuse,
mm-hmm.
sexual and non-sexual. I do not know people who are strong within themselves who get abused or bullied. It's the people who do not trust themselves, don't believe in themselves, who get attacked.
Mm-hmm.
Just like in nature, when there is a whole herd of reindeers, the lion looks for the easiest target, the weakest. The strongest may have the most meat to eat, but it's also the biggest risk.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes for the easy one. And after that, he takes another easy one. Maybe he has to run twice, but two times easy, instead of this one big, very dangerous one. And so it all starts with ourselves. And when I stopped or started judging myself less and valuing myself, then those people directed their abusive behavior towards other people who clearly did not start doing what I was doing already. So I'm already doing other people a favor too.
Mm-hmm.
Because now is their chance to learn and evolve and grow. And yes, it was horrible. And I had two burnouts and I suffered a lot. But I stopped suffering when I decided I do not want to suffer anymore. So what do I need to change? I need to stand up for myself. And people had been telling me that, but I did not understand. I had to feel it through and through first. And that's how the transformation came. And then I started to see, like, okay, oh, but now there's a different kind of abuse coming. More subtle. Okay, I need to be more myself, even more. And I'll say no to that.
Mm-hmm.
And now I really experience it because, yeah, I clearly work on so many aspects that there's very little left to really come and affect me in that way. But yeah, it took me a while.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, today everything is going faster. So if somebody's watching this today, it will not take you 10 years like it took me. It will take you much less, as long as you're really determined
mm-hmm.
to stand up for yourself and to respect yourself.
Mm-hmm.
First, you need to have self-respect. It's not an ego thing. No, just respect yourself like you respect others.
Mm-hmm.
And then people will start to respect you. And children will show you when you're lying. Lying to yourself or to them. They will not take it. They may not say it in clear words, but their behavior will be accordingly. So
yeah, that's the beauty of that. To repeat that with children, like, they don't judge it, you know, they just see through, like, untrue behavior and true behavior, like sincerity or integrity. They just feel the frequency of it, and they express what they feel, like, without thinking, without, you know, gaining any benefit of it. Or yeah, if they are a little bit older, they know how to gain from it. But when they're very small and, you know, and still very open, they just show what's genuine and what's not genuine. And that's the beauty of where shadow and gift just emerge for me. It's just a showing, like, okay, this is the frequency I get from you. which is neither good or bad. It's just a frequency. And within that frequency is our genius, it's called in the Jinkies, is our genius, is our creative, unique expression. And that is, I guess for me, that is what soul touching is about, to touch upon that creative, unique expression in whatever frequency it comes out. But it's always there. We can't avoid it. It's always there. It's coming from us. It's coming out of us in whatever way, shape, or form.
Yes, and if we don't let it flow, that's when we start to feel bad, in whatever shape or form, physically, emotionally. It's,
yeah,
you're stuck. It cannot flow freely.
Yeah. It wants to come out. Yeah.
And that's why you see when somebody is living his true potential, you see the joy. Mm-hmm. You can see when people are actually doing what they're really meant to do, mm-hmm. from within. And I'm experiencing it myself as well these days with the work I'm doing now with refugees.
Yeah.
I'm totally myself. I don't think, what will they think? How will they perceive? No, I just feel the group I'm working with, and stuff starts to come out. And sometimes I have an idea like, okay, today we're going to do that and that because you were already here last week. So we're going to go next step. And then I'm looking around and I feel things and they're responding things. We're like, okay, guys, we're going to take a break here. We're going to change because there's first something else we need to deal with, because you indicated that and that. So let's work on that first.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that back in the days, I would get insecure, like, oh, where are things going? We're supposed to go this way. And now other things are happening. And now I'm more like, okay, clearly this needs to be addressed now. So, okay, guys, pause, up, and we change. And then you see that when we do that, the energy is transforming. And a certain moment, we come back to what we originally planned. But that goes so smoothly because there was this whatever topic that had to be dealt with. And for example, 2 weeks ago, it was about speaking your truth.
Mm-hmm.
Two or three people felt a pressure here.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt like, okay, that was happening. Okay, good. Why do you feel the pain here? So I just stopped the whole exercise and we went to that.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, things transformed. And
what would you say?
Yeah.
What would you say is your genius in what you're doing with the refugees? Like, if you feel into that overall feeling of your work there, what is the unique you-ness in there? What you bring to the table?
One is being in the here and now.
Mm-hmm.
And being really truthful in and out. And from there, there are all these things that come from it. So, for example, I started by offering them a workshop for relaxation.
Mm-hmm.
And I assumed they would need that. What I did not know is that most of them had been experiencing non-stop stress for 8 months or more.
Mm-hmm.
I was shocked when I heard that.
Mm-hmm.
But now I realize that is why I felt I had to offer that. I did not know, but I felt something in me told me that, okay, you need to do something. And specifically from this center, because another center, for example, is located in a church. So they already have that kind of support. But this center is people living in apartments spread out throughout the city. So they're not always together. So there is less, less togetherness. There is just interaction.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like there is a support body in place where they are every day, where it's easy to access.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, my workshop are creating that.
Mm-hmm.
And also creating bonds between people who did not really interact with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then they realize they have things in common and that they can actually talk with each other. And so you see some stuff is happening there. Mm-hmm. And by being in the here and now, by feeling what's really needed, I do get them to relax because I can feel what they need. And sometimes it's literally just sitting and ask them to lay down and close their eyes and nothing. I don't do very guided meditations most of the time. Mm-hmm. Often it's just being in silence. Experience some silence. No kids running around, no messages about the war or whatever. No, just nothing. And then things come up. Mm-hmm. What I need to say, or like, okay, now I need to guide them actually on very physical relaxation. Relax those muscles. Or feel what you feel there. But it's every time different because I connect with the group in that moment. So even if the same five people come back next week, it's going to be different.
Yeah.
Because they all come with different energies. Just like me, I'm coming with different energies. Although I've learned to leave behind me whatever I did till that moment, and then I'm just here now. Mm-hmm. Whatever worries or thoughts or even happy things, I leave behind me. I may come with a certain energy still, like I can be joyful or like, but then I focus. Whatever stays with me, apparently I need it in there. Mm-hmm. So if I feel bad, then maybe we need to talk about it's okay to feel bad. Hey, it's a natural thing. So even I can feel bad. So don't feel bad about feeling bad yourself. Mm-hmm. And I realize I already said now two times, being in the here and now. And that's the whole reason why I invited you for this live 2 weeks ago. Because you recorded spontaneously a video, a live yourself on Facebook about being in the here and now. And I was like, oh, yes, this is so important. But I realized it's the only way actually to be able to relax when you have a lot of worries about your family, your friends, maybe your husband, because mostly our families who came here without the men. Women and children came here, the men were not allowed to leave. They have to fight war against a big army without proper tools and stuff like that. And they're still living in a country where a bomb could just drop intentionally or by accident. And they keep getting all that fear from everyone through all kinds of messages on all the different social media. So there's constantly the phone, bzz, 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 fear, 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 stress, 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 worries, worries, worries. And that's why I need to be really in the moment and make them aware of either we are in that room or we are in the park, and then make them aware of their surroundings. Mm-hmm. And like, there are no noises of airplanes or rockets. There is no shouting, there is no screaming, it's just here. Mm-hmm. Us. So you hear the birds, you hear the leaves, or you hear the neighbor child playing above or whatever you're hearing. And yeah, you may hear an ambulance. Yeah, that's just an ambulance passing by. That's it. Mm-hmm. We are here. We're safe. That's when you see that people start to relax. Mm-hmm. And I myself also relax in that moment even deeper. Because, yeah, I'm just going with the flow. I don't need to think too much. I'll just feel it comes up. And if nothing comes up, it means I need to be silent for the next 10 minutes maybe. Well, good luck with that. When you just start meditating, then oh, how to be silent for 10 minutes? Don't I need to say something? Don't I need to do something? No, just nothing. To come.
Yeah, and you know, I try to do such a life like every week, just to be a little bit of a like a promoter for this. Like for me, you know, in this whole spiritual growth thing, I realized that for me, it's very hard to follow those kind of creeds, like being in the now. You know, this has come immensely popular, I guess, partly by the book, you know, Eckhart Tolle's book, The Power of Now. When I remember well, it was from that time onwards that it's really exploded. Like it was everywhere, that exclamation, like power of now, being in the now. For me, that always, such a thing always remains mental. Like it is a copy and paste thing. Like suddenly we all say it, and so the magic is in the practicing actually, and that is, as you explain it, that is what is really working for me, is to just adjust your body to regular pauses during the day, that the body is really aware of, okay, every now and then, you know, how many times you do it doesn't really matter, but a regular kind of thing that the body recognizes as, okay, now it's just sitting, it's just breathing, because the breath now continues, being it a high breath or a more a belly breath or a breast breath, the breath goes on until we, you know, cross over, and just experiencing that, just be in that moment of pause, in that moment of nothingness but breathing. That is actually what really invited me to experience it. And when I hear being in the now or being in the presence, I can't relate to it. I can't connect to it. My brain just goes fuzzy. So what helps me is to just have those regular moments during my day. And, you know, even if I'm working on another place, like working with people or in a team or something, where you could say, well, it's very different to take that break because, you know, I have to do certain things. I'm in that team and I'm expected to do certain things continuously during those hours. But even then, you know, just when you make yourself a tea or when you go to the bathroom, or we can all take those, like steal those moments almost, you know, we can all do that with our awareness, to just focus instead of outside, focus inside for those short minutes of time, and just be with the breath only, because the breath is a continuum. And then you don't even have to know what that does to your body or to your system, or it doesn't even have to have a name, like being in the now. It is just that the body starts recognizing, okay, there is an outer world and there is this world of just beingness. And that for me is the price. That is the how do you say that in English? Like the treasure. That's the treasure. That my body just picking up that rhythm. Like if I'm aware, if I take those moments of awareness, there is this rhythm. There is this like continuously natural thing that keeps going, no matter how crazy I am in my mind, no matter how crazy the world seems to be around me. It's there. And so, yeah, that for me has become something regular during my day. I do that very regularly. Can be very short, can be a little bit longer. And I try to do it once a week on Facebook in a live. I do it in Dutch. I'm sorry, but still in Dutch.
People can still tune in and just feel. And they will get the message.
Sorry?
People can still tune in and feel.
Yeah.
They don't understand the words. Yeah. They can just feel the energy.
Yeah. No, that helps.
That's what they need to feel to.
Yeah. To just. And to me, you know, that is also the simplicity of what we are about to experience, like as a humanity, is that there is this flow and rhythm that is there no matter what, without having to go into a meditation class or a mindfulness class or a yoga class or whatever retreat we feel we must be doing in order to learn this. It's actually the other way around. It's something innate in us, which we just give space by pausing, by just, you know, be aware for a couple of moments and let be what is already. So yeah, that is my practice. That is and I guess that is the same as soul touching, you know. It's the same as what you describe you do with people you work with. I think in the end, it's the same that all of us do in our very unique and own ways when we click into our, you know, our innermost selves. It's just that we do. It's just that expression which brings us back to children. They don't necessarily go meditate naturally, you know. They are busy being a child, or they sleep or eat or whatever. Or watch television, but that's a whole other story. But actually, this little pause is there with the child during the day. You know, when it switches gears between one play and the other, one thing it's captured with and the next, it just steps in. Okay, what wants to come now? It's not that visible all the time, but it's what a child does as well. So it's very natural in us to just let our day unfold, like fueled by those moments of pause.
Very nicely put. Actually, I experienced it today also, that I woke up and was blank. Like, what am I going to do today? I need to. It was the voice, like, you need to do something. And I had our call scheduled. I was like, yeah, I still have a few hours. And so I just surrendered to it at a certain moment. And so I did the laundry, the dishwashing. And at a certain moment, I saw a post for someone, and I'm like, hey. And then that triggered something in me, like, okay, here is a topic that's really crucial. So I decided to record a video about it. And then at the end of the video, I realized, like, but this can also lead to something else. I remembered some things somebody told me, and I recorded a second video. So I went from how I'm going to be productive today to doing the life with you and recording two videos, which probably will lead to a third video, which will hopefully trigger some people, inspire some people. But it only came because I surrendered to not knowing what I had to do and just sat with it. Mm-hmm. And of course, sometimes there are days or evenings or afternoons where you just need to take a break. And then after that break, your body and your mind maybe have recovered and then can get in action again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where society is telling you, between those and those hours, you need to be very productive and do this. But maybe that's not who you are on the inside. Mm-hmm. Of course, if you have a job, then certain things are expected from you. But it's important to find your balance in that. That comes back to the inner balance. That's how I chose in 2012 that I would only work part-time in the corporate world, because I needed more time to do what really resonates with me. And eventually I found a corporate world job which resonated with what I was doing, with who I am. My colleagues were doing horrible stuff. I mean, they had to do horrible things. But I was doing the fun stuff in the way I wanted it, because I even got the freedom to do that. But that's because I entered that job interview saying what I could offer, but mainly what I would not take. All the crap I would not be taking anymore. I said that very clearly. The HR lady was like, but the manager was like, I fully agree with you, because I don't like that crap also. So, yeah, it was a perfect match in that moment. And later on, I had other part-time jobs where I didn't even need to have that conversation, but I just attracted the right people who would give me the freedom I need to do my work in my unique way, which is still perfect for them. And there was this gentle interaction always. okay, sometimes it was like, oh, this is really urgent, can you please help? But it was not like an order, it was like, can you please help? Of course I'm gonna help you. As long as it's not every day is like urgent, because then it's just them mismanaging certain things. But I did not attract that bullshit anymore. Because I chose for myself to have that kind of balance. I chose integrity over profit and neediness. And so balance started to become more prominent in my life. Still, there are areas in my life which are not balanced. But you need to start somewhere, and then slowly things will adjust.
Yeah.
And so I take regular breaks.
Yeah.
Throughout the day, throughout the week, throughout the month even, throughout the year. I take breaks just to, can be a walk in the park, can be just sitting and listening to some music. Or I had to think when you were telling the last part, I have been enjoying some DJs who on YouTube are just mixing music. And the different ones have different styles. But you can see how they're really enjoying what they're doing, and they're just in the moment. It's like a meditation. They're just in the moment being playful, and some beautiful music is being created.
Mm-hmm.
Just like children are playing.
Yeah.
They don't schedule it. They don't plan it. They may have an idea. I want to build a sandcastle. And then they start building something. It may be a sandcastle, maybe a pyramid in the end. They just are doing, and they're having fun. And that's what I see with those DJs. And that's what I see when I decide to draw. Take some paper, feel like, okay, I need to draw something. And then something starts to come out. Or even digitally. And I'm noticing that more and more people are doing these things, where they just let it flow. Just like I record my videos without script.
Mm-hmm.
Or this talk, I thought, okay, let's talk about that. And he said, nah, well, that's not what I'm feeling today. So, okay, let's just start somewhere. And look how this conversation went. And it's going, yeah, like a wave, moving and right. And what needs to come up, comes up.
Yeah. Yeah, and I just wanted to add to what you were saying about, because that's always the argument, I guess, that people bring up. And I, yeah, really understandably, like when we are in a job, or we are parents, or we are, you know, we have our daily chores, we have like obligations, as soon as we start to feel those, connect to those from our inside, they tend to soften. So if we don't keep the obligations outside of us, where they can pressure us down, or where they can overtake us and be dominant and be authorities, as soon as we take them in as, okay, we chose them, thus we can align to them. And you can only do that in this kind of pause, in this kind of inner silence, where you align yourself with the chore, with the obligation, with the task at hand. But as soon as you do that and make it your own, make it your choice, make it your alignment, it's very funny. It just tends to, you know, dissolve as a task or as an obligation. The whole energy around it changes, and you end up doing even the most, you know, challenging jobs, you end up doing in this kind of flow as well. It might not be your ideal job, but the whole energy within the job transforms and becomes something you do from your inner, from your heart, from your soul. And it's, you know, it's a wave that you want to ride in that moment. So, yeah, in the end, it doesn't really have to do anything with tasks that are forced upon us, or that some kind of manager obliged us to do. It really has to do with our own inner alignment with whatever is in our day. You know, that's experience.
Thank you. Thank you very much for joining me today in this beautiful conversation.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure. You saw I've been laughing a lot because I feel the joy in this kind of conversations in when things just come up. Mm-hmm. And I believe that's something we all need. Mm-hmm. And I'm lucky to have, generally people say you can count on the fingers of one hand how many good friends you have, but I need more than one hand. I feel super rich. I feel a lot of abundance with the number of people I have around me with whom I can have this kind of conversations, not just to publish, but just in general. And even if we have just one, it's very valuable. But it's only possible if you are prepared to connect from here. Mm-hmm. Because that's how you and I connected.
Yeah.
Simply a feeling was from here, and that's how we became friends. And yeah, sometimes you don't talk for months. And then we reconnect, and that's totally okay because we have our own things we're going through. Mm-hmm. And I see this with all the people that I now friends with, are people I'm connected from here, which is very different from before. But it's only possible because I started to connect with myself first.
Yeah.
And then I could let go of the shame that I was feeling about myself. Mm-hmm. And then doors open. Mm-hmm. So for the viewers, I really encourage you to look into that. I will not say to work on it, because that sounds again like, oh, I have another task to do. No, just be open mm-hmm. to seeing who you are. And maybe book a session with one of us or somebody else, doesn't matter. But see who can maybe guide you on that journey inwards to discover who you truly are. And from there, you can create a different reality around you.
Yeah, and maybe start with the little pauses, the little conscious pauses during the day. I mean, you have to go pee anyway, you know? You have to make your drink anyway. So if you could transform that into a kind of magical pause, just see what happens. Yeah, and let us know. That's wonderful.
Just like we did today, we just saw what would happen.
Yes.
So thank you very much for joining.
Thank you.
I will put in the description or in the comments, depending on which platform you're seeing this, links to both of us, where you can find us, where you can contact us. And if you have questions, just shoot in the comments or send us a direct message. You will get an answer. And see you next time.
Yeah, totally. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Like, subscribe, and share.